Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Mine eyes prevent the night watches because I rise to meditate upon thy statutes. We greet each one in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. Sure is a blessing to be home, to sing with y'all. We enjoy putting our heart into the songs that they sing in Africa, but it's just not like singing at home. It's just not like singing the meat of the words that we sing here at home. And we all want to thank you for all your prayers that you prayed for us. I was thinking while we were in Africa, I'm glad that God made this earth round and that things can be going on at the same time in different places. I'm glad for that. It was several times while we were there, we would sit down for a meal on a Sunday afternoon about 2 o'clock, and we'd be sitting there all gathered together eating our meal, and someone would say, "You know, they're gathering together right now." That's right. The brethren are in the prayer room right now praying. Right now. They're praying for us right now. That's right. And we just took great courage. And there were other times when we also drew aside knowing that you were just gathering together right now. And we could breathe a prayer heavenward and we'd go like this and like this on another part of the world. We thank God for that. I don't plan to preach on Africa this morning. The Lord has laid something else, a burden on my heart. But I might share one story with you. Something that happened while we were over there that blessed all of our hearts. And it just shows how God uses many different people to fulfill His will. There was one day Brother Ross and Jake, they went to another village, a neighboring village, to do some witnessing. And there they found a young man about 33 years old sitting out in front of a fetish priest's house, which is a witch doctor. And there he sat, all shriveled up and as skinny as a rail, dying. And Brother Ross asked him, "What are you doing here, my friend?" He said, "I'm dying. I'm sick and I'm dying. And I'm here in front of this witch doctor's house because I need to be healed." Brother Ross and Brother Jake began to preach to him and tell him about Christ. And he knew about Christ, but he didn't know what to do. He had run out of money and he couldn't go to the hospital anymore. Nobody had any money to take care of him. And he didn't know what else to do. And his parents didn't know what to do with him. So they dropped him there in front of that witch doctor's house. And we found out later that he was dying of tuberculosis. Brother Ross and Brother Jake, they picked him up, got him to his feet. And he couldn't walk by himself. They had to put his arms over their shoulders. And they walked him out to the side of the road and got a taxi. And off they went in the taxi to find his mother. And after talking to the mother, they took him to the hospital at Cape Coast and provided money for him to have medicine and food. And as far as I know, he's still there right now. But oh, the word went out through the village that there's two white men that came to the village and they snatched up this man that was dying of tuberculosis and they took him away and they don't know where he went. And the word went around the village. There's a healer over at the Elmina Motel. That's all they thought. There's a healer over there at the motel. And the next day, here came two ladies with their sick children. And they found the watchman there. There was a watchman who watched the property during the day and then another one at night. And they found the watchman and they told the story to the watchman and they said, "We'd like to see the healer. Take us to the healer." So here comes the watchman with these two ladies and they had their little children and the one little girl was very sick and the other one had jaundice or hepatitis. But One of these ladies couldn't speak any English at all. The other knew some English, but the one lady, she couldn't speak any English. She was a Muslim. She didn't believe in Christ. And we felt like before we pray for her children, we need to deal with her soul. But nobody spoke the language. And here stands the watchman there in the room. And he spoke the language, but he wasn't a Christian. So for 30 minutes, he interpreted and told this lady all about Jesus and what He could do and how He could change her life and He could deal with her sin and change her life and take care of her problems and her needs. And we'd talk a little bit and the girls would talk to him, and then he'd preach to the lady for a while, and then we'd talk to him some more and he'd preach to the lady for a while. And when we got done preaching through him for about 30 minutes, she got down on her knees and she prayed. And I don't know what happened to her. We never saw her again. But it was very interesting. The next morning, here come the watchmen. He said, "I need to talk to somebody. I'm a Christian, but I have troubles in my life," he said. "I've never been able to overcome my cigarette habit. I've never been able to overcome my drinking habit. I'm married, but I'm unfaithful to my wife, and I cannot stop. Can you help me?" And that's about the size of the gospel that they get over there, that they feel like they're a Christian, but they just can't get rid of their smoking, their drinking, and their immorality. So we began to talk to him, and we talked to him for a few minutes, and then we sent him away to think, and we gave him a Bible and gave him a couple chapters to read and asked him to come back at 1 o'clock that day. And he came back at 1 o'clock and we talked to him, I guess, for about a half an hour and clearly laid the gospel out to him and showed him that he's never been born again. Showed him you can't overcome the things in your life. You're not born again. We had him read 1 John chapter 3 earlier that day to show him that you can't live in sin when His seed is in you. You can't do it. So that watchman, he got down on his knees and he just wept his way to the Lord and he got born again. And we just rejoiced that God touched his life through touching the other woman's life, through touching the old poor, the poor young man's life who had tuberculosis. God was working in the whole thing. And we saw that watchman, he was around us every day. It's interesting, from that day forward, he hung around us. He still had to do his job, but he watched our end of the motel a lot more than he watched the other end. And he had a Bible, and he was reading his Bible. Every chance he had, he was reading that Bible. We'd walk by him, and he'd be singing songs. And you'd go by again, and he'd be there praying. And we just watched him. We watched his life just go up. And up, and every day we'd talk to him and see how you're doing. And, he's doing better yet today. And I told him he needs to go and confess to his wife the unfaithfulness that he had with her. And, that was a hard one. And it took him 2 or 3 days. But then on a Sunday, he sat his wife down and told her all what he was like. And asked her if she wouldn't forgive him. And she just graciously forgave him. And she said, if you are a Christian and you're going to follow Christ, she said, I will follow you to church. And she made that commitment to follow him to church. That was on Sunday. And on Monday, we said, it's time for you to get baptized. He missed the baptism that we had for the others. So we had a special baptism for him on Monday. Took him out in the ocean and baptized him. And he brought his wife the next morning to see us and say goodbye. And her name was Yamiye. That's quite a name. It means God is good. That is her name. How would you like to have a name like that? Yamiye. God is good. But she's not a Christian yet, but I trust that she will be as she continues to go to church. But that's just one of many exciting stories that we had while we were away, of how God answered your prayers on our behalf. It was a blessing. It was a thrill to be in the work of God and to see Him work the way He did. We just had a revival for a month. That's what we had. We were just living in the sweetness of God's reviving Spirit all the time, from the beginning of the day to the end, and the beginning to the end, the beginning to the end. I told the young people, you're in Bible school. This is one Bible school you won't get by going away somewhere to the Bible schools in America. This one's different. But I praise God for the Bible school we had over there for a month. And we do thank you for your prayers. I'd like you to open your Bibles now to Hebrews chapter 8. I would like to speak on this subject this morning. I feel impressed of the Lord to share with you this morning that Christ is all. That's a statement that you find in the Word of God. Christ is all and in all. But we just want to look at that little phrase, Christ is all. There's a little song that says, Christ is all I need, Christ is all I need. All that I really need. Another song says, all in all is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. And this morning, it is my heart desire that God would convince you of that in a way that maybe He hasn't before. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 8, starting in verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Now here we have a beautiful picture. These words that we read, they come out of the book of Jeremiah. You'll find them twice in the book of Jeremiah. You'll find somewhat the same words again in the book of Ezekiel. And all through the Old Testament, God was giving words of prophecy, prophesying what the relationship would be of the children of God to the God of heaven in the New Testament day when the new covenant came. And here we have a beautiful picture. He says, I'm going to put my laws in their mind. I'm going to write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God. And they shall be to me a people. And we see a very close relationship. We see an intimate relationship between God and His people, one like He did not have with them in the Old Testament. There they had statutes and laws to live by. Here they are written on the very hearts of the people. There God dwelt on the mercy seat. Here God dwells in the hearts of men and women. There the people came to the temple where the sacrifices were offered, and they thought about God. But now God is there teaching them. There they gathered at the temple, and the Levites taught them the Word of God. But here God says, no longer will one go to another and say, you need to learn this and you need to learn that. But all will know me and all will be taught of God. That's a beautiful picture of a relationship. This morning, I'd like to take a different look at how God meets the needs of His people. And I want to say this, lest I misunderstood. I recognize this morning that God uses human elements to meet the needs of His people. But I don't want to look at those this morning. And maybe by the time I get done, you'll think I don't believe in it anymore. But I do. I believe that God uses human elements to meet the needs of His people, but I believe also in this New Testament era that we are living in that God wants to meet the needs of His people without human element. So I'm not discounting the human elements. I believe in pastors and teachers and counselors and comforters and prayer warriors and those who listen when someone needs to talk. In fact, the very purpose of our leadership seminar was to train human elements to be able to minister the needs of people. And I believe in that, but I believe there's also another way in which God meets the needs of His people. And there is a danger There is a danger that we begin to develop a mentality that we have to go and talk to somebody in order to get help. That we need a counselor in order to meet our need. That we need somebody to listen to us in order to unburden our heart. And that's not always true. There is a danger of looking manward for help when God wants to be our help. And by the way, this is not an announcement to stop coming for help. But rather, that we just all learn and let God stretch our spiritual lives. That we also come to grips with the reality that we can, through God, have our needs met in our lives. We can do it. Turn to 1 John in chapter 2. We see there another verse that so clearly brings this out. Familiar to all of us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. That's quite a verse, isn't it? John, speaking to the Christians, he's warning them about deceivers, and he's warning them about false teachers, and he's warning them about those that were among but left and went out. And it seems as if maybe he could sense that maybe the people of God would get a little worried there. Well, how do you know who's a deceiver and who isn't? And he comes in with these words, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Looking down a little bit further in the same chapter, verse 27. Chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Here we have another verse that clearly shows us that there is such a relationship between man and God where he does not have to have everything taught to him by somebody else. But rather, a relationship between God and man where God is the teacher. I told the young people while I was over there, in fact, ours and also those that were in Kenya, I told the young people, you don't need to go away to Bible school. The curriculum is already planned out. And you've got the best instructor you will ever find. He is the most powerful. He is the most flawless instructor you've ever had in your life. He's the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I'd like to lift that relationship up before us. An observation that I'd like to share with you. And I think that everyone who knows what revival is, who knows what a touch of revival is, will agree with this. I have observed when people get clear with God, when people get clear with God and draw near to God, when people get close to God and get busy in His work, they don't need much human help to get their problems solved. Have you ever noticed that? When people get right with God, I mean nothing between my soul and the Savior. When people get right with God and they draw near to God, they don't need much human help. Their problems get solved. It's not that they don't have any problems. But they've drawn close and near to the problem solver, and the problems get solved little by little by little as they are going on in their walk with God. I noticed it fresh and new while we were in Africa. We took 6 young people along with us. Young people have problems. They have struggles. They have battles to face. And dropping them off in the middle of Africa didn't help any of that. But it was very interesting how little maintenance those six young people needed while we were there. Why? Because they had drawn near to God. They were close to God. They were reading His Word. They were walking with Him. Everything was clear between him and them and God. They were busy in His work. God was close to them. And it just seems like God was able to solve their problems. I know they had problems while they were there. I know they had struggles while they were there. I know they had battles while they were there. But they didn't need a lot of human maintenance. Isn't that interesting? Now, there are many needs and problems among us here this morning. There are many. I know there are people in this room. I know you're hurting this morning. I know some of you have struggles and you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to get out of them. Some of you are facing things maybe no one else even knows about it. Some of you are facing things and everyone knows about it. But you don't know what to do and you don't have an answer. Well, I believe the Word of God does have an answer for you. Christ is all. He really is all. I think of the illustration of A.B. Simpson, who was a young man. When God began to use him, he was a young man. At 21 years old, he was preaching to several thousand people twice every Sunday. At 21 years old. And he began to burn out and his mind got loaded down with all the things and all the problems that he had there, dealing with a big church full of people and preaching and all those things. And he came to the end and he came to the place where he just said, God, I can't go on anymore. And God said, I'm your sufficiency. Just trust me. I'm your wisdom. Just trust me. I'm your strength. Just trust me. And oh, the sweet story of how he shares how God, through his life, just came to him time after time again. When he got into a place of extremity and he didn't know what he was going to do and he was absolutely at his wit's ends to know what to do next, and God came in with his word and said, and God gave him a verse out of the Bible, just like our brother shared. And that verse was spirit, and that verse was life, and that verse was spoken to his very being. It was a rhema to him. It was alive to him. It was God's word spoken to his heart for his own need. And it became life, and it quickened him, and it brought him out of his troubles. So here we are today, with a room full of people, and many needs in our hearts. But there's no reason for us to despair. Maybe you went to a counselor and you didn't get an answer. That may have been the best thing that ever happened to you. Maybe you went to a brother or sister and you shared with them and you thought, this is going to take care of my need, but it didn't go away. That may have been the best thing that ever happened to you. Because Christ is all. He is all. It's not the counselor. It's not the comforter. It's not the one that will listen to you. It's not that. It's God who will meet your need. He is the one that is able. He is the only one that will deliver you from whatever your need is. Maybe you're here this morning and you have turmoil in your relationships with somebody. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Do we believe it? He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Master Peacemaker. You say, well, I went to a counselor and nothing's been solved yet. Did you go to the counselor? I've got problems and I need answers and I don't know what to do. And I went and sought counsel and I didn't get any answers. Did you go to the counselor yet? Maybe you're here this morning and you're lonely. You're all by yourself. And you're troubled on every side. Maybe you even went to a brother or sister and wanted some comfort, and you didn't get what you wanted. Did you go to the Comforter? You see, God doesn't want us to find in human elements that which He wants to meet in our lives. He does not want that. And the wisest counselor, and the wisest comforter, and the wisest peacemaker that there ever was the one, when somebody comes to them, they have the ability to bring them to the peacemaker, and to the counselor, and to the comforter, where their needs will be met. You say, I have a lot of questions and I don't have answers to them. Did you go to the teacher? Well, I asked my preacher and he couldn't give me a satisfactory answer. Did you go to the teacher who has all the answers? Don't despair today. God wants to meet your need. I don't have answers to all my questions. In fact, if you look through my Bible, you'll find question marks in there. And I don't know if I'll ever get the answers to some of them, but it doesn't matter to me. Christ is all. He is the need meter. And He wants to meet every need in this auditorium this morning. And He can meet every one of them without a human element. Now, He may use a human element, but He doesn't have to. Maybe you're in a period of darkness in your life, and you don't understand, and you just see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Have you been to the light of the world yet? Whose face shone like the sun? Have you been there yet? He can meet your needs. He can illuminate that dark corner of your life, and He can do it very well. He's the light of the world. Maybe you're in bondage today. I've got a bondage in my life, and I can't get rid of it, and I've been to this preacher, and I've been to this preacher, and I visited this evangelist, and I called this man on the phone. Oh, maybe you've called all kinds of people, all kinds of human elements. But have you been to the Deliverer yet? See, He's the Deliverer. He's the one that delivers. There's deliverance in Zion today. And if you've got a bondage in your life and you can't get over it, you come to the Deliverer and you come His way and He'll deliver you. He will. Do we believe His Word this morning, just like our brother said? Is it precious to us? Is it alive to us? Is it quick? Is it spirit? And is it life? And can we read it and say, praise God, I'm going to believe that. It is spirit and it is life. Maybe you need healing today. Have you been to the physician? I've been to the doctor. I've been to the nurse. I read the health book. I've done everything I know to do. Have you been to the physician yet? Christ really is all. I know that simplifies the Christian life quite a bit. But it's one of the most profound truths that we'll ever grasp a hold of. And I don't know if we grasp it even yet this morning. Christ is all. For ye are complete in Him. For in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's in Him. All those treasures are hidden. Have you been to the physician? You may say this morning, I've got such a burden on my heart, I need somebody to sit down and just listen to me. Have you been to the high priest who knows every struggle that you're going through? He knows exactly how you feel. Maybe you went to somebody and they didn't understand you. And you tried to share your heart and they couldn't sympathize or empathize with you. And you went away frustrated and you said, oh, what's the use? Have you been to the high priest? He knows exactly what you're going through and you can talk to him. And if it's therapy to talk to somebody, how much more therapy is it to talk to him? I mean, just spend an hour alone with him. And tell him all about your trouble and your struggles and tell Him how you feel, even if you don't feel right. Just unload it on Him. He's the high priest. Maybe you're having financial problems and you don't know what to do. And you sought counsel and didn't get right answers that you thought. And you tried harder to get out of your financial problem and it seems like you get worse. Have you been to the provider yet? And I'm going to clarify what I mean by that. I don't mean to have a little talk with Jesus. I don't mean that this morning. That's not going to the provider. That's not going to the physician to have a little talk with Jesus. But I guarantee you, if you'll touch the provider and you'll draw near into His heart, He will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will do that. I believe it. God said it. This morning, you may be living under many accusations. And in your heart, you're just crying that somebody would come alongside and stand beside you and stand up for you. Well, the Bible says He's our advocate. He's our advocate. We need no one else to stand beside us if the advocate is standing beside us. He's our advocate and He's our pleader and He stands between us and whoever our accusers are. He is the advocate. Have you been to the advocate yet? They all men forsake me. Nobody understands the troubles I'm going through. Nobody stands with me. Have you been to the advocate yet? He'll stand with you. He'll stand there and put one hand on your shoulder and strengthen you in the midst of whatever you're going through. See, He's all. Christ is all. All in all forever, Jesus will I sing. Everything in Jesus. And Jesus is everything. Do we believe that this morning? He wants to meet our needs. And He's able to meet our needs. I'm preaching about real problems this morning. I didn't just make up a list here. But I just got the telephone list is what I did this morning. I just took the telephone list and I went down the telephone list and I said, there's one. There's another hurting one. There's another hurting one. But He can meet your need this morning. He can do it. Maybe there's a lot of chaos in your life and you don't know which way to turn. Did you ever go to see the God of order? Wherever God is, wherever He comes, where there's chaos, He just brings it right into beautiful order. He can do it. I need wisdom for my life. I have decisions to make and I don't know which way to turn. And I've sought counsel here and I've asked questions over here, but I'm not sure if I know what to do. Have you been to the only wise God yet? He's got the answers. And really, when we stop and think about it, God would much rather you learn to get your answers from Him. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. There's God's word to us. If we lack wisdom, let us ask of God who gives to some of the men who come. No, He gives to all men liberally. He doesn't hold it back. Life is sinking. Everything around you is sinking down. And you don't know what you're supposed to stand on. Have you been to the rock? The rock that is higher than I. All other ground is sinking sand. I need somebody to watch over my life. My preachers are not watching me the way they should. Have you been to the chief shepherd and bishop of your soul? He'll watch over you. He'll watch over you. He'll never fail you. I have no father. I don't know what it's like to have a father. There is a void in my life because I have no father. And I'm grasping and grasping that somebody would be my Father. Have you been to the Father? He's the Father of the fatherless. The Bible promises He'll be a Father to the fatherless. But note, brothers and sisters, He doesn't just come down and be the Father. You have to go to the Father, and then He'll manifest Himself as your Father. He'll meet your needs. Maybe you're in the battle today, and the battle is sore. And you're out there in the middle of the battlefield, and the devil is pressing upon you on every side, and you don't know which way to turn. The captain of the Lord of hosts, He is with us. The Lord, mighty in battle. He's the King of glory. He's the captain. He's our captain. We don't have to go to war by ourselves. Maybe you need somebody to pray for you. And you feel like people don't pray for you. I need somebody to spend the whole night in prayer for me, and nobody will do it. That'll pray for you continually. He will. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. You see, Christ is all. And I'm not disannulling the human element this morning, but I'd just like us to get our eyes a little bit above human element. Because He really is a need meter. God wants to be first place. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. When it is hot, most of the problems are solved. When it is hot, answers come. When it is hot, needs are met. And God wants to meet the needs. If God wants to be your personal helper, no man will be able to help you. You know, there's something that I noticed about human nature. We'll much easier go to somebody than we will to go to God. It's so much easier to do that. And we just wish that they could meet our need. And we just wish they could give us the answer. But think with me for a moment. If God wants to be your need meter, He will not meet the need through a man. If the need, if the greatest need in your life is to press into God and find Him to be your sufficiency, He will not meet your need through a man. Or you'll go to the man the next time and the next time. When we need to learn to come to God, He is a need meter. He is able. He is sufficient to meet all of our needs. And I notice this also. When we look to men and things don't work out, we blame men. But when we look to God and things don't work out, we examine our own heart. Isn't that interesting how that works? Oh, that He didn't counsel me right. He didn't this right. He didn't that right. But when we look to God and we say, I'm going to seek God until God meets my need, and we seek God and He doesn't meet my need, we can't blame God. We all know that. We can't blame Him. So what do we do? Father, what's wrong with me? Why aren't You meeting my need? Where are You, Lord? Why aren't You real in my life? Why aren't You being a counselor to me? The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Isaiah 59 says, His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Isaiah 58, oh, what a beautiful description of a fruitful Christian life. You'll be like a watered garden. You'll be strong in the middle of the drought. You'll call unto God and God will say, here I am. Just like that, you'll hear God's voice. And then God says, my arm is not shortened that I cannot save. But behold, your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. You see, when we go to men, and we look to men to meet our need, and then we don't get our need met, then we start blaming the men. But if we go to God, and we say, I'm going to stick myself before God until God meets my need, then there's nobody to blame. We can't blame God. We know His arm is not short. We know He's a mighty God. We know He's a powerful God. We know that He can save. We know that He can change people's lives. We see other people's lives being changed. We know He can part the Red Sea. We know He can do anything. Why isn't He meeting my need? We have nowhere to look but right here. And oh, what a sweet experience when we get to that place where we say, God, I'm not going to quit until You meet my need. And then God turns the searchlight, and God knows when we really mean that. He knows it. When we say, God, I am not going to let go until You meet my need. And God knows. Now He's serious. Now He's serious. And He'll turn the searchlight on our heart. And He'll meet our need. First, He'll meet our greatest need. Then He'll solve our problem. That's the way He is. Think about it. The excitement of all these problems being solved. You think about it for a moment. Wouldn't it be an exciting thing for you to be able to share a testimony with somebody else that you had turmoil in your relationship, maybe between a husband and a wife, and you got serious with God and you began to seek the face of God, and the Prince of Peace came and He was a peacemaker and he made things right, and you got right with Him, and your wife got right with Him, and your husband got right with Him, and the peacemaker came and brought peace to your home? What kind of a testimony would you share? And what an exciting thing that God came and brought peace into my home. What an exciting thing if we need a counselor and we go to God, and God, in the sweetness and the quietness of an early morning hour, through His Word, reveals to us the very need that we have and says, here's your problem. May I say this? Mature Christians don't run to somebody else every time they have a problem. Am I right in saying that? Mature Christians do not run to someone else every time they have a problem. Now, they have problems, but they have learned where to go for their problems. And He is able, and He is sufficient to meet our needs. What an exciting thing when you look down through this list. Turmoil in relationship, problems with no answers, loneliness, periods of darkness, bondages, healings, financial problems, accusations of men, chaos in my life, a lack of wisdom, a life that is sinking and falling apart, and for God to be the sufficient one to meet every need. What an exciting thing. Well, do we believe it? He is able. I heard it said in Bible school, and I believe it. One of the purposes of a pastor is to work himself out of a job. Well, here's a good application to that. To train the people and pray for the people and guide the people into a vibrant relationship with their God, that they don't need to come every time they have a problem. I have nothing to do. There'll always be someone else. But I like the philosophy there. I like that kind of a vision. I'm going to work myself out of a job. I'm going to pray and preach and counsel and guide until the people have learned to walk with their God, and they've learned to come before Him when they need a counselor, and they've learned to come to Him when they need wisdom, and they've learned to come to Him when they need a deliverer, and they've learned to come to Him when they need a peacemaker. Oh, what a blessed time. What a blessed time. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Now we're going to look at the Bible. We'll start in Acts, and we'll just move our way down through a few verses here. This one is really a blessing, because if you look at the context here in Acts chapter 20, Paul the Apostle is at the church at Ephesus, and he's ready to leave. And he pretty well knows in his heart he's not going to see their face again. That's a hard thing. He's not going to get to counsel them anymore. He's not going to solve their problems anymore. He's not going to be able to minister when there's trouble there anymore. He's not going to be able to do any of that. But look how he finishes his speech. Chapter 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Hallelujah! He knew where to put them. He commended them into God's hands. Oh, you elders, I'm not going to be able to answer your problems anymore. I'm not going to have answers to your questions anymore. But I know somebody who will. I commend you to God, who is able. And He is able. He's able this morning. Turn to Romans 16. Many times Paul ended his letters with these very kind of words of encouragement. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Now to him that is of power. Now that word means is able. What Paul is saying here is, now to him that is able to establish you according to my gospel and according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and according to the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. God, to him that is of power, he is able. He's able to establish our lives. He's able to establish us in the faith. He's able to give us the answers to our needs and our problems. He's able. Paul believed it. And he exhorted almost every church with these kind of words. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able. There it is again. And that word able means of power. God is able. God is mighty. God is powerful. And able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Notice those words. Boy, if you get doubtful, he hits you 5 times in one verse. If you get doubtful whether God is able or not, He hits us 5 times in that verse. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Punch after punch after punch. To lift up our spirits and get us gazing heavenward and to see who can meet our need. He is the one who wants to meet our needs. He is the one. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul prayed. For this cause, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. I think that's enough. According to the riches of His glory. I think that's enough for all of us in this room. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he ends it by saying this, now unto him that is able, here it is again, unto him that is able, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Isn't it interesting how Paul writes here? He doesn't say to the church, go to your preacher, go to your counselor, go to your friend. He says, go to God. He's able. He's able to meet your need. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says these words, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will do that. I believe it this morning. He which began a good work in me, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He'll just keep right on doing that good work. He'll finish the work in my life. He'll finish the work in all of our lives. And a verse we already quoted, but we'll read it in chapter 4. Verse 19 of Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There it is again. My God will supply all your needs. I have a need. There's turmoil in my life. I have a need. I need a counselor. I have a need. I need a peacemaker. I have a need. There's chaos in my life. My God shall supply all your needs out of the abundance of His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He'll supply all your needs. He won't let anything let go. He is lacking nothing to take care of your need, whatever it may be. First Thessalonians chapter 5. The Word of God. Is the Word of God precious to you this morning? Is it spirit and is it life? It is. It's alive. It's quick and it's powerful. It can energize us. It can quicken us. Let us believe it this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Sanctify every area of your life. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. He will do it. But will He do it if we're in unbelief? Will He give us that wisdom if we're like the wave of the sea? Will He do it then? Is God obligated to meet our need if we're living in unbelief? About our need, He is not obligated. But faithful is He that calleth you who will also do it. He will do it. I believe it this morning. Hebrews chapter 7. And verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25. Wherefore He is able. There it is again. He is able. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Chapter 4 of Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise the Lord. We quoted James chapter 1 verse 5, so I don't think we'll turn there about wisdom. But let's look yet at Jude verse 24 and 25. Jude 24:25. Paul's going to close this little epistle with a word of encouragement. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He's able to do that. To the only wise God our Savior be glory, majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. He is able. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now we've read a lot of promises here. These promises are real. They're for us to believe. And if we believe them, they'll do something for us. You believe that this morning? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And it says in another place there that He's provided for us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Well, it sounds to me like the Bible says that Christ is the answer. It sounds to me like God is saying, I have only one answer for you. And I think that it's time that we get a glimpse of glory and get a glimpse of what God can do in our lives through His Word. These are the precious promises. We've read many of them here this morning. They're precious promises. They're full of life. They're full of energy. They're full of faith. They're full of hope. They're full of life and strength for our needs. They're precious promises. And by them, we partake of divine nature. And divine nature will change your life. And divine nature will meet your need. And divine nature will be your counselor. And divine nature will be your wisdom and your strength and your peace and whatever else you need. Divine nature is what we need. Oh, what a blessing. God wants to meet our needs. But I've noticed, and I think that everyone here would agree, during times of revival, when we start cleaning up and we draw near unto God and we get busy for God, it just seems like the machinery works different. And we have answers. All of a sudden we're a wise father. And we have answers for our families. We have answers for our needs. Our burdens aren't as many. Our problems are not there. I believe it's because Christ is the answer. And the closer we draw near unto Him, the more answers we have for our very needs. A couple of promises out of the Old Testament. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And now look at God right in the middle of this psalm. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Right there in the middle of that psalm. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice and the earth melted. Christ, He has the answer. He has all the answers. Be still and know that I am God, He says in verse 10. And then over at Psalm 34. Verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. All of them? Come on! Surely not! All of them. Look at verse 6. No, we'll read verse 5. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. If you study that, it means they looked unto Him and their faces were enlightened and their faces glowed. And they were not ashamed. And look at the next verse. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Amen? All his troubles. Look at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Praise God! We are not left by ourselves. Maybe you didn't get an answer. Maybe you went to a counselor and you didn't get an answer. So what? I know where you can get an answer this morning. I know where you can get a balm for your hurting soul. I know where you can get it. But you can't get it in unbelief. You can't be in unbelief and get it. You cannot sit back in your unbelief and say, poor me. And you won't get out of your troubles that way. But if you be a poor man, and you cry unto your God, and you seek His face, and believe His promises, He will deliver you out of all your troubles. I don't know. I believe it this morning. Jesus said these words. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Say, I'm hungering, but I'm not filled. Well, now, here we are again. We can't blame anybody for that. All we can do is blame God. God, I'm hungry, but I'm not filled. Your word doesn't work. No, that's not what we do. If we think we're hungering, but we haven't been filled yet, maybe we need to re-examine whether we're hungering. There is a difference between hunger and appetite. Amen? There is a difference between being thirsty and wanting a drink of water. Isn't there? I mean, when Jesus hung on the cross there, He said, I thirst. I believe He was thirsty. Well, after He had been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without any food, the Bible says He was hungry. I believe He was hungry. After the multitude had followed Jesus for 3 days and had nothing to eat, He looked upon them and had compassion on them because they were faint, because they hadn't eaten for 3 days. I believe they were hungry. And the Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Do we believe those words or not? And if we're not being filled, maybe we need to re-examine whether we're really hungry. You know, a hungry man will do some pretty different things. I remember the illustration, I think it was old Johann, told about how a time when he was in Russia and he was hungry and there was no food to eat and he found himself in a bread truck. He did a very foolish thing. He ate and ate and ate bread until he couldn't eat anymore, and it made him very sick. Why did he do that? Because somebody who's hungry, they do desperate things. Somebody who's hungry, they'll do some pretty crazy things. Somebody who's hungry will eat a rat. Would you eat a rat? People who are hungry have eaten their own flesh and blood. They were hungry. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, blessed are they that come to God with a desperation within them. I think of the verse in the New Testament. I think it was John the Baptist that was saying it. Or maybe it was Jesus speaking about John the Baptist. But he said these words. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I wonder this morning, I just know in my heart that there are many needs in the room, and I also know that God can meet the needs. But I also know that God just doesn't sprinkle by and drop the needs in your life. He wants His people to seek Him. And in desperation, He'll meet your need. Must we wait until God puts us in a prison cell somewhere? We know the stories. We know many of them. There in that prison cell, in desperation, they fought their way through to God, and God met their need like nobody could ever meet it. Must we wait for the prison cell? Why can't we just take the needs that we have and say, God, here it is. I don't have an answer. I don't see how I'm going to get through this. I don't see how I'm going to make it. And get hungry before God. God will meet our needs. He'll meet them. And you know, and I know this is being realistic, there might be one in this room today that will get a hold of this message and come out on the other side. There might be one, but there could be 20 who will get a hold of it. You know, something that often frustrates people, and I know Brother Mose would agree with this, people come for help, for counsel, and you sense, you know, what they need to break through to God. That's what they need. They don't need answers from me. They need to get a hold of God. So we'll send them away and say, go seek God. Oh, that just frustrates them. Come on, I want answers. Give me answers. Go seek God. Oh, they don't like that one. But that's what they need. That's what they so often need. And many times what a counselor can do for you is just a patch job. Put a little mortar on the old sore and send you home again, and you'll be back in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But oh, if we can get you to tap into the counselor, you won't come back again. And we want you to come. If you have a hurting heart and you need to talk to somebody, we want you to come. But God wants you to come to Him. And God wants you to come to Him so He can meet your need. Then He'll be glorified. Oh, how He'll get the glory, won't He? Oh, how He'll get the glory. I sought the Lord. Come magnify the Lord with me. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fear. Gather together with me and magnify the Lord. He delivered me from all my fears. Oh, He'll get the glory. He'll get plenty of glory that way. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Jesus said, I thirst, and He was thirsty. Jesus wasn't hungered, and He was hungry. Let's interpret those two words in light of biblical words. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? God wants to meet your need. He wants to meet it in your closet with you. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we just thank You and praise You for Your exceeding great and precious promises that You put in the Word of God. Lord, we believe them this morning. God, we just look to You. Lord, I pray that You will minister to the needs of Your people this morning, O God. I pray that You'll draw them with cords of love. I pray, O Father, that You'll help our unbelief in this room this morning. Some, dear God, they're saying, oh, I want to believe, but I just can't. Oh, Father, help their unbelief this morning. God, give them faith. Give them the gift of faith that they may rise up and know that God will take care of them. And Lord, I pray, take all of our problems. You know them, Father. take our problems and use them to make men and women of God out of us. That's what we want, Lord, and that's what You want. I know it is. God, take our problems and make men and women of God out of us. Father, I just pray that You'll take Your Word and apply it. It seems like we didn't do very well. But, oh God, I pray that You will make up the difference. God, I know this simple little truth that maybe everyone's heard it 5 times. I know it can change their lives. Father, I just commit all that into Your hands. I thank You, Lord, that I can be back home. I thank You, Lord, for the assembling of the saints. Thank You for the sweet songs of Zion, oh God. Thank You for the opportunity to preach to my brothers and sisters again, Lord. Oh, I just praise You and thank You, Lord, that You're able to make all grace abound toward us. Father, we choose to believe that this morning before You. I just pray You continue to add Your blessing to the service, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.